Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10, okay? With me, Romans chapter 10. And then if you're multitasking, we're going to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 right after that. So if you want to get ahead on that, that would be good. Romans chapter 10 to begin this evening. I had a church in Long Beach that was multi-ethnic in every respect, with Long Beach as that kind of area. And we had a Hispanic ministry, we had a Filipino ministry, we had a Korean, our Thai ministry, and what else? We had one other ministry, I can't remember right now, but you go down the hall, we had half black, half white, and you know, you can say, ¿Cómo están? Somebody say, muy bien. You say, ¿Cómo están? Somebody say, mabuti. Filipino, you know, and then the others, what's up, man, you know, and just a different ethnicity. But if you've ever, how many have had an opportunity to be in a black church? Anybody like that? You know what I'm talking about. They love to talk back to you. And our church was half black in Long Beach. And so that reciprocating thing, I can kind of feed off that kind of thing. But that leads me to a story about a young black preacher that was coming in and candidating for the church. And he said to his congregation, he said, if you'll vote me in as pastor, this church is going to walk. And then the congregation just kind of with it, amen, preacher, let her walk, let her walk. And he says, furthermore, if you vote me in as pastor, this church is going to run. Amen, preacher, let her run, let her run. And he was going on. He said, if you vote me in as pastor, this church is going to fly. Amen, preacher, let her fly, let her fly. He said, it's going to take money to let her fly. Let her walk, preacher, let her walk. Pastor, you've been doing a great job of keeping us informed about this little faith promise card. If you have a faith promise card tonight, if it's not too much bother, could you get it out right now? Do you have it? Maybe you don't have it. You left it at home, or it's in your Bible someplace, and you have to look through your index, or maybe you already put it in the offering plate, and you're getting ready to give another one. I always say, I'm glad the pastor said, hey, feel free to give another one. I haven't even given a message yet on giving. And I said, man, don't give one yet until I at least get the heart of giving. But have at least this handy. Pastor, you've done such a great job explaining. I've never been into church where it's been so clear as to what people are to do along the lines of faith promise. And I appreciate the clarity and spirit that you have. And thank you, church, for being here tonight. God bless you. And I know you've worked hard. We're going to try to be timely and be out of here in about 25 minutes. And so we're going to let her fly. Amen. Amen, preacher, let her fly. And it's not going to take a lot of money, but we're going to talk about money tonight. But I'd like to have you have that handy. Look at Romans chapter 10, if I did not say the chapter. Romans chapter 10, and some very familiar verses. If you have ever led a person to Christ or prepared or gone through a soul-winning class or want to be a soul winner, it's always good to know a little bit about Romans chapter 10. You finally get there, because this is a great passage that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, that passage and those wonderful verses. But I want you to get down to verse number 13, where the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be what? Saved. Shall be. If you can talk to me tonight a little bit, that's all right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you get to verse number 14. That begins a series of questions that begin with the word how. And we're familiar with this passage. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's just stop right now and pray that God will give us some meaningful time in these few moments together before we go home tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you again for the privilege of having missions conference. Thank you for the good presentations that we've enjoyed again tonight for these missionaries, just dear missionaries and dedicated servants of God. How we pray, Lord, tonight as we take these few moments together from your word, that you would just, first of all, help me, Lord, to gather my thoughts, to give in a very brief time something that is very, very important. And I pray that we'll just get a hold of it. Many have heard this before. Some need to be refreshed. Some may not have heard this. May not be clear in this area. And I pray that they'll see the truths of God's Word tonight. Help me, Lord, to give those truths in a clear and plain way. Fill me with Your Spirit. Use me to be a blessing, as was just sung by Brother Jonathan. Make me to be a blessing through these moments to these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to see right into this, if you would please. Verse 13, I'm so glad for this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I received Christ, I told you, on Sunday when I was 4.5 years of age. But being a preacher's kid, PK, I heard plenty of messages after that time of my dad, as well as various evangelists that would come in and say there's a difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. You can know Jesus up in your head and not necessarily know in your heart. Rapture occurs, you're going to be left behind. And I listened to those kind of things down the front row and said, whoa, man, I hope I believe in my heart. I don't want to be left behind and that sort of thing. And I began to do what many of you have done, and that is struggling. I said, did I really mean what I was doing when I was 4.5 years of age? And some of you may have gone through that kind of thing. And I got together with my dad. My dad would always come back to, this is one of the passages, John 1:12 is another. But Romans 10:13, he said, hey, for whosoever, you can put your name there. Can you just say, you have called upon the name of the Lord? I said, yes, for Dave Smith will call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be saved. Would God lie? You know that line and how you do that. And he just took me through that. And that was a real blessing to me. It's a great assurance of salvation that God never would lie. And if you're here, happen to be here tonight and you're struggling over salvation, zero in on that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But hey, we're in a missions conference. And in a missions conference, let's put it in the context of missions and world evangelization. And that word whosoever certainly has application there, does it not? For whosoever. Not just talking about Americans. It's not just talking about certain people with certain color skin. It's not talking about people that have the privilege of living in Christian nations where there are churches and preaching the gospel. The Bible says whosoever. That means anybody in the whole world. For whosoever. I'm glad that's there. And that's applicable and very relevant in a missions conference to realize that whosoever shall call upon the same Lord that you did, he's able to save and willing to save and will save those that call upon him, repenting of their sin and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then you come to these series of how questions. Notice what it says. How shall they then call on him in whom they've not believed? You've got to believe in Jesus in order to be able to call on him. Makes sense. It's logical. It's just reasonable. It goes down the line. And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? That's why it's important. I'm looking at my Nepali friends here tonight. That's why it's important for the Nepali people to hear about Jesus. Because they've got to hear. Unless they hear, they're not going to be able to call on the Lord Jesus. Indian friends. And that's why it's so important for them to hear. Hinduism and Islam, not going to do the job. And so that is true in Africa and over in Europe and all around the world. They've got to hear the gospel message. We tried to give clarity last night to in our address there. And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? I wish and hope God would touch the hearts even of some of you young people through this conference and realize that maybe God would use you. I don't know where it is. Is it over here? Struggling with the possibility. All of us are called to be missionaries, at least where we are in our Jerusalem. And maybe God would call some of you to go to a foreign field. And that is definitely don't go to the foreign field unless God's called you. But if God's called you, at least make yourself available and say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, Lord, I'm available. I don't know if you can ever see yourself in a place like Djibouti or some place like Afghanistan or Pakistan or some of these difficult places that we need somebody to go to. And would you be willing to do that? I hope, young people, you'd consider the fact that people are not going to be able to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unless they have a preacher. Somebody needs to tell them. Thank God for those that are out today in those places that we cannot go. Thank the Lord for those that are saying, I'll go, I'll go. And even as was sung last night so beautifully, just saying something that we all should say. Lord, I'm not my own, but here I am. And I have to say that to you tonight. If God would call us at our age, I know He would. But some of you remember Charlie Barrels, Cliff Barrels, who used to lead the singing for Billy Graham in those days. His father, Cliff Barrels' father, was 80 years of age, and God called him, he and his wife, to go to the Philippine Islands. So I just put that out there to say we don't disqualify ourselves just because we're a certain age. I'm talking to young people in between and all the way around there. We all ought to be the place saying, God, wherever you can use me, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. I'd like to hear a good amen right then. It'd make me feel a little more comfortable that you're right with me, all right? I don't want to feel like we're in opposite pages. But then look at the next one. And how shall they preach except they be... And will you say that next word quickly, preach, a church? What's that next word? That's kind of weak. Let's try it together. One, two, three. Sent. How shall they have a preacher unless they be sent? Now, folks, look this way. That's where this comes in. This is where this comes in. Because the DePews sitting here, it's going to take money to get them to China. There are no free flights. Okay? They can't get a job over there. That's what it's going to take to get to Damascus. Damascus, is that right? Didn't even sound right then. That's what it's going to take to get them to Scotland. It's what it's going to take to get our dear friends to Ecuador. It's going to take that. The Hearst have got to have somebody send them. And all the other missionaries that are here. Oh, there you are, Brother Jonathan. I'm looking all over the place for you. I thought you just cut out after you sang that solo. But it's going to take money to send them. And that's what faith promise is all about. Now, a simple little lesson, real quickly. I know you all look intelligent tonight, but let me give you a simple lesson on the biblical principles of giving in the Bible. Really, there's only three principles of giving that I can find in the Bible. Now, if your preacher says there are four or five, he's right and I'm wrong, okay? Because I've always looked to him as a father figure, and he's much wiser than I am. But let me just give you three principles of giving tonight, all right? Let's go quickly. Everybody ought to tithe. Could you say that with me tonight? One, two, three. Everybody ought to tithe. Get excited about that, all right? Let's try it one more time. One, two, three. Okay. Everybody, you know, the Bible says in Leviticus, the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, it's not a tithe. It's a tithe. Okay? Just in case you misunderstood that and misread that word, tithing. Genesis 28 says how much a tithe is. How much is it? One-tenth. Yeah, one-tenth. Genesis 28. I'm not just trying to tell you something that's not in the Bible. It's there in Genesis 28. Check it out if you don't see it. It's one-tenth. And it's gross. That's what Jacob said. I'll give you a tenth of all that I have. It's not just net. It's gross. So the Bible says that everybody ought to tithe. Everybody ought to give one-tenth of their income, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, everybody ought to give one-tenth of their income. Preacher, do you know that there would not be one church, including your own, or any church in America that's a Bible-preaching church that have a financial problem if everybody would just say and do what we just said? That's true. If everybody, we don't have to have rummage sales. We don't have to have garage sales. All we have to do is have God's people just be faithful. We don't have to be Mormons, go around dunning people and knocking on and say, where's your tenth? That's what Mormons do, by the way. They get their tenth one way or the other. I've been in Utah, Salt Lake City, where they had a mix-up, and one of my deacons moved in there. They thought he was in the Mormon neighborhood, and they came to the door when we were there looking for their tenth. That's what they do. But, you know, as Christians, we just ought to be out of obedience, saying, Lord, we just believe we ought to tithe. Now, and don't look so sad. That is not a bad deal. Do you understand that all God's saying is, I'll give you, you keep 90%, I just want 10. Is that a good deal? Is that a good deal, preacher? Yeah, get excited about it, man. That is a great deal. I love the story of the guy that was out boating somewhere out in the ocean and their boat sank and they both swam to an island. And there they were, the two of them on an island, isolated miles and miles away from any civilization. One guy was so sad, he was just depressed and suicidal, and the other guy was happy, singing and whistling. And the guy that was depressed said, "How can you be so happy?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "We're out here. We're going to die. Nobody's going to find us out here." He said, "Relax, pal." He says, "I give $500 a week in my tithes to my church. My pastor will find me." Tithing is a good deal. Say it one more time. 1, 2, 3. Everybody. Okay. Stay that excited, all right? The second thing is found in the Old Testament, in Exodus 35, 36, the Bible says there that everybody ought to sacrifice. Everybody ought to sacrifice. Now, we don't have time to look up all these passages, but let me refresh you. Remember, Moses is given by God the plan for the tabernacle. Remember that? He says, I want you to build Moses' tabernacle, but I want the people to sacrifice, and I want them to come up with the materials. I'll give you all the plans. I'll give you all the how to do this, but I want the people to sacrifice. And if you read that passage, it is repeated over and over and over and over again. Almost gets repetitive, saying, wow, the Bible says, here's what it says. And as many as their hearts were stirred, as many as their hearts were stirred, as many as, and that's a whole theme throughout those two chapters, God's people began to sacrifice when Moses said, this is what God wants. He wants a tabernacle, but he wants God's people to give to this tabernacle. And so it says the women, they sacrifice their jewelry, their earrings and their rings and necklaces. I don't know what they gave, but they gave that. They gave the materials. They gave gold and silver. They gave all of these different things. They gave wood. They gave skins, they gave all these things. And the exciting thing, preacher, is you come to the end of that chapter, the second chapter there, and something never happens in a Baptist church. Moses gets up and says, hold it, we're not going to have an offering. I'd like to have Pastor, what's your last name again? Aylesbrook. Aylesbrook? How would you like to have Pastor say, we're not going to have an offering for the next 2 weeks because you've given enough. That's what happened there. But the exciting thing is they sacrifice. Do you know what a sacrifice is? To sacrifice means to give up something in order to do something else. To give up something. Now, the application there is very simple. If pastor says, you know, God has laid upon my heart and it should be on the heart of the church, then we need to finish off that second floor. It's been long enough. We've got to finish it. Would you like that?
Sure.
That is not necessarily going to be taken care of by the tithes. But that would be because the tithe is that which carries on the church. But a construction project or a project like that would take sacrifice on your part as a church. And everybody ought to sacrifice. And so, but it's, you know, God's not going to put a gun to your head and say, you better do this or else. No, you ought to give just like they did in the Old Testament. As you were stirred in your heart, moved in your heart, felt willingly, gave a willing sacrifice, said, no, we'll give up our jewelry, we'll give up this or that. We'll do whatever we need to do to make sure that that project is done like the preacher feels like God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Okay, so number one, everybody ought to tithe. You still with me? Everybody ought to. And everybody ought to. All right, now fast forward. We're going to 2 Corinthians. We've got 9 minutes. We've got 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You still with me? 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is the third principle of giving. It's the third principle of giving. Now, look this way before we go too much further. Let me give you a little Bible class, instruction. What was happening in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9? First of all, the Apostle Paul. Who was he? Well, he was an apostle. He was sent out by the Lord. He was sent to minister to Gentiles, to heathen. You know, he was one of the greatest missionaries probably we've ever seen in the history of the Bible. I don't know of a greater missionary other than the Lord Jesus Christ that we can set up as a missionary. I'm going to say some things here, so I want you to catch everything. The Apostle Paul was a missionary evangelist. The Apostle Paul was a missionary evangelist. He was not a stationary. He was a missionary. Are you still with me? He didn't go to one place and just stay there. His gift was not pastor-teacher. His gift was missionary evangelist. I know we're right on the same page on that, aren't we?
Amen.
All right. Just want to make sure. And so he went to a place like Corinth. He did go to Corinth. And he preached the gospel. And people got saved about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. These Corinthians got saved. And he baptized them. And they were added to the church, just like happened in Acts chapter 2. And then he began to teach them and disciple them. And I'll bet, the Bible doesn't say, but I'll bet he taught them that everybody, he taught about giving, he taught about all things. I bet he taught them everybody ought to tithe. And I bet he taught them how everybody ought to sacrifice. And he taught them and prepared them and turned that church over to another pastor, and he went on his way. But before he did, he taught them the third principle of giving, which is found in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. That's why it's there. It's that everybody ought to give by faith. Now, I say faith, but I could say the word grace. I don't know who came up with the word faith promise, because, you know, I have a hard time studying my Bible and finding that word, but I can find the word grace easily. And that's what's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in the first verses. You'll see that word grace at least five times in the first several verses as you go over that passage of Scripture in your own study. And so he taught them that third thing. But before he left, before the Apostle Paul left, he said to his church, he said, you know, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary evangelist. I'm going to stay here in Corinth. I've come here. I've led you to Christ. I've baptized you. I've put you, I've tried to do everything I can. I'm putting it under new leadership. I'm going on to the next place. That's what a missionary evangelist does. I'm going on to the next place, and I'm going on to plant another church. But before I do, I want to teach you that third principle of giving. Giving by grace or giving by faith. And what I want you to do is make a promise. I want you to make a faith promise that you will help in the planting of a church. In this case, and it was the helping of the saints in Jerusalem. But if you read the books of 1 Thessalonians, then you'll read the book of Philippians, which is a Macedonian church, you will find that it was exactly what you're looking at tonight. It was the help of supporting and sending the Apostle Paul to do the work that God had called him to do as a missionary evangelist. And so the church of Corinth, I'm just telling you about how this all said. The church of Corinth responds, said, yeah, we're in for this. Give us those cards. I don't know if they had cards or not, but said, give us that card. We'll fill that out. And that's exactly, if you read for 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they gave a faith promise that they would fulfill within the year. A year goes by, and to the disappointment, dismay of the Apostle Paul, his church that he had led to Christ, that he had baptized, that he had taught and discipled those people, those rascals, they may have tithed, those rascals may have sacrificed, but they disappointed the Apostle Paul, their past pastor, missionary evangelist, by not coming through in this area of faith promise. And so what Paul does, if you look at your Bibles, if they're open at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, he says, I do you to wit, or I want you to know, about the grace of God that was bestowed or given to the churches of Macedonia. What he does here is he holds up the churches of Macedonia. You say, well, who are the churches of Macedonia? Well, you guys sing this song, I'm sure, once in a while. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. Who are the churches of Macedonia? Well, Thessalonica was one. Philippi was another one. There were several churches where Paul had given. And so he holds up to his own congregation, his old congregation, he says, look, let me tell you about the grace of God where they did not fail in the third principle of giving. That was faith promise. Let me tell you about the grace of God. And so it begins. And I can't not do it in 4 minutes, but I will get to the first part of it, and then we'll just cut it off like a train car and keep going tomorrow night. How many will come back tomorrow night? Okay, to be continued. All right? That'll help me know where I'm going tomorrow night. To be continued. I'd rather do that than be in bad straits with all of you, and you never come back tonight. All right? So I'm going to finish in 3 minutes. I want you to see, first of all, their priority. Look at their priority.
Look at verse number 2. Is that verse number 2? I left my Bible up there. Verse number 2. How that in a great trial of what?
Affliction.
Of affliction. A great trial of affliction. Look this way. This is the month of March, and you are making a commitment for how long, preacher?
1 year.
1 calendar year. 12 months. Do I know what's going to come into your life? Well, I'm just afraid to get next to this guy right here. I don't even want to get close to him because I'm afraid something bad's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I heard your testimony up there last night. I don't know what's going to happen to you in the next 12 months. But can you relate to a great trial of affliction for the last few months? Sure they can. The truth is, I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. But he's talking about the context of faith promise. But he says, I want to hold up to you the church of Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia, that in the great affliction that they went through, bad news, broken water pipes, what else bad's happened to you? Gout and all that rest of that stuff. I don't know what's going to happen in your life, but you know what happened, Brother Tim? They didn't quit on their faith promise. They didn't quit on their faith promise. Look at the same verse, verse number 2. Not only a great trial of affliction, but in deep poverty. You see that there? Deep poverty. I don't know why this happens, preacher, but I can tell you I know it happens because we've had a number of our missionaries come home from the field, Tim. And they said, well, I said, why are you home so early? He says, because a number of our churches have written us letters that they're lost some members, they've fallen on bad times, their missions giving's not been, well, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Hurst. And we've had to come home to raise other support because some churches have let us down. Now, thank God we have a church that never missed one payment of one missionary, and I'm probably sure you're the same way, but there are lots of churches that have never learned that last lesson of deep poverty. It doesn't say poverty, it says deep poverty, but Paul holds them up as an example and says, I want you to know that they did not give up, even in deep poverty. I don't know what it is about churches, but the first line item that seems to go when things fall on hard times, recession or whatever. Sorry, but we're going to have to let you missionaries not get paid. Sorry, but we're going to have to drop a mission support for a while. I don't know what happens, but I know it's happening in tons of churches, and it's to their shame because they never learned this lesson that Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, look, don't keep your priorities straight. Don't let poverty and don't let great afflictions stop you from doing this. Okay? Then I want you to look at another verse right down there. Chapter 8. Look at verse number 3. For to their what? To their power. Now, preacher, again, if you alter from this and go another direction, you're right and I'm wrong. I want to tell you this. You know, I sometimes look to this and say, okay, honey, we have so much money coming in, and, you know, we're just about maxed out. So we can do this. We can do this amount, and let's fix this, and we can do this here. Now, if that's the way you're figuring out, you're looking at your budget, you're looking at your checkbook, what's coming in, what's going out, and your budget, I want to tell you there's nothing wrong with that. Because what you're doing is you're giving to your power. Okay? You're giving your power. It's in the Bible. They gave according to their power. Is there anything unscriptural about that? He doesn't admonish them or rebuke them because they gave according to their power. It was okay. But don't stop there. And they gave, look at that verse, and they gave beyond their power. Now that's where faith promise comes to. Faith is trusting and stepping out and trusting God of saying, I don't know where it's going to come from because I can't see it. That's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is where I want some of you to get on board. You need to listen to this at Community Baptist Church. Because when I sit here and watch you, Pastor, put that stuff on the board, and I see, I don't know who they are, it doesn't matter who they are, anonymous. But when you put down, this is what we gave last year, and this is what we're going to give the same amount this year. Are you listening? When you do that, you're simply silently saying, this is what we were able to give last year, and we're maxed out. That's giving to your power. We're maxed out. We can't give any more. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is you're giving to your power, but you're failing to give beyond your power. You see, we can come to this place and we can just give according to our power, but we haven't even begun to give and say, God, you kick in where I can't do that. You say, is that biblical? You bet it's biblical. You remember the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? Do you remember that? You say, he fed 5,000. Well, I think there was 5,000 men, and they probably had a wife, so that makes 10,000. They probably had a kid or two. That makes about 15,000 minimum. And that all was given because a boy was able to give 5 loaves and 2 fishes, a little small thing. Did he give his lunch? Yes. Did God use his lunch to feed 15,000? Yes. Did God get involved and feed more than what those 5 loaves and 2 fishes could do? Absolutely. You see, you don't know, and I don't know what God wants to do in and through you, but faith promise is saying, God, you put money into my hands, and you can trust me that whatever extra money that we're, besides what we're living in according to our power, if you give me something that I know is you can count on me, I'm going to give it to faith promise. That is putting down a figure. That maybe demands some of you to recalculate and say, you know, what we did, and when we put a fixed number down here, we gave according to our power, but we did not give beyond our power. We did what we could say. I wished I had oodles of time. I'd love to talk to you about testimonies that I've heard and seen that we have witnessed of how God has brought in unbelievable sources. God is not broke. God is looking to bless you. Okay? God is looking to bless you. And you've got to learn a procedure, not only the priority, but the procedure of realizing to give not only according to your power, but beyond your power. Did that challenge some of you? Amen? I hope so, because that's Bible. One last verse. I think it's verse number 5. Verse number 5. And this they did, not only as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, I told you we're talking about money tonight. But would you relax? God is not interested primarily in this thing I'm trying to get out. He's not interested in this. God at Missions Conference is not about this. That's not what Missions Conference is about. Do you understand what I'm saying? According to that verse, God used the Apostle Paul to get to his old church and hold up the church of Macedonia and say, oh, listen, they made the priority of faith promise. When they came to that third principle of giving, giving by faith or giving by grace, they had their priorities straight in deep poverty and great affliction. They kept going. They didn't give up. They gave according to their power, and they gave beyond their power. And they first didn't give their wallet. They first gave their heart to the Lord. Young people, you know what God's interested in getting the most from you in this missions conference? It's your heart. The same as He's looking to me, to you, to every one of us. God wants your heart. I'm 5-6 minutes over, but I'll quit with this. John Shuck, 1885. I'm looking around here. I guess the only one that was alive then was Pastor Shuck. What is your name again? Pastor Aylstock. The only one that knows this. John Shuck, pastor, was sitting in a church just like this over in England. 1885, it was a missions conference. And they gave out these cards in 1885. And the pastor gave instructions to the people and said, I want you to write on the card what you could give. John Shuck was sitting in the congregation that night, and he didn't have a penny to his name. He was looking to his own power. He got out his pencil as everybody else was writing in a figure, and he wrote something down, folded it up, put it in the offering plate as it went by. Now, I don't know who was counting or who was looking that up, but somebody handed to the preacher John Shuck's card. And here's what it said. I thought, I think you'd be interested. John Shuck, during that time when everybody put their faith promise card in, wrote something to the effect that, I, John Shuck, do not have any finances to give to the Lord tonight. But I hereby give the Lord John Shuck. I give the Lord John Shuck. That's what that's talking about. They first of all gave their own selves to the Lord. Oh, by the way, John Shuck is recorded as the first missionary to China. First Baptist missionary to China. I, John Shuck, give John Shuck. Do you know what God's looking for in this missions conference? It's that we give ourselves to Him. Lord, You know my heart. You know what I have, and You know what You're going to give, and You know what's coming into my life and down the pike in the next 12 months. I don't know, but I'm giving You myself, and here I am, a vessel. Here I am, a vessel, and I want to be a vessel of honor unto my God. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Could we say that tonight as we leave this evening? I, not John Shuck, but put your name in there. I, fill in the blank, give you, for this missions conference, I give you my heart. And could we adopt the spirit of the Macedonians by our priorities, by our procedures, and by our pattern of giving our hearts?